You're listening to Thursday Night Tailgate with Chris Mascaro and Bob Lazzari, where NFL legends live on. Back to you, boys.
It's him. He's alive.
All right, now back and making his 18th appearance with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is NFL stats guru and a member of our 2015 Hall of Fame class, Russell Baxter. And as we always say, no one on the planet knows more about every team and every player who's probably ever played in the league than Russell does. Be sure to check him out on his website, profootballguru.com, and follow him on Twitter, at BaxFootballGuru. You can also find his work on fansided.com, NFLSpinZone.com, and WBLZ, and we're glad he is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Russell, Chris, and Bob, thanks for coming back on the show.
Welcome back, Russ.
Hi, guys. You know, I really appreciate the introduction and all that stuff, but you know, ever since Pluto went away, you know, we're only down to eight planets. So, it, you know, it just doesn't have the same kind of bite to it.
Well, we'll try to spice it up a little for you next time.
Maybe you can start. I mean, can we work Thanos in there somewhere? I mean, you know, he seems like he's doing okay.
Indeed. So, Russell, help us out. Recap the draft first. First of all, what did you think about the Browns picking Baker Mayfield at number one and then Denzel Ward at number four?
Well, I think a lot of people thought Ward was obviously a little bit of a surprise because, you know, depending on your mocks and depending what you thought people wanted to see, and that was pairing Bradley Chubb with Myles Garrett. But, you know, you look at what Cleveland has done in free agency via trades as well to solidify that corner spot, the cornerback spot. They're very concerned about that cornerback spot, and understandably so, okay? I mean, let's not forget, and I'll have to remind you, Chris, of all people, the caliber of wide receivers that play in the AFC North, okay? Antonio Brown, A.J. Green, Juju Smith-Schuster. I mean, take your pick. Okay, you know, Baltimore went out and signed three veteran receivers. That includes Michael Crabtree now. So I certainly understand, you know, you want to beat the teams in your division. Now, for the Browns, they haven't beaten anybody in the division in years. Okay, that's not a wisecrack. That's just the fact. So for Greg Williams' defense to match up, you know, I think he feels like they have enough of a pass rush. Not saying they won't get more, but they need some cornerbacks to match up with these guys. And there's a reason they haven't won a division game in a long time. As for Baker Mayfield, well, you know, I wish I knew more about – I know he won the Heisman Trophy. It's not like I do scouting or anything. But, boy, did he get a lot of – kind of almost like a boost of confidence from a lot of the teams that I think we were surprised as we have read over that were really interested in moving up for him. Obviously, the Jets. I think a lot of people thought he was just going to fall to the Jets at number three, but you know, John Dorsey played his game of poker. He kept very, very quiet. He was I think the best word to describe him is moxie. And you know, the Browns, obviously, who've gone through 28 different starting quarterbacks since 1999, and just traded away this offseason their starting quarterback in the past year, Deshaun Kaiser, who started 15 games for them, benched for one game. Bench for a guy who's now no longer with the team. I mean, they kind of cleaned house. So, but I mean, if you no reason not to believe some of the stuff you read that New England was very interested in Baker Mayfield. The problem is jumping all the way up to number one from number 23. That's, you know, that's even Jesse Owens couldn't make that leap. So I mean, obviously he impressed a lot of people, and you know, hopefully for the Browns' sake, they got their man. I mean, and they don't have to rush him in there. They've got Tyrod Taylor. You know, I actually thought it was a very smart move by John Dorsey because they needed somebody at the quarterback position who can bring a little stability and also bring, well, actually prevent from turning over the football, okay? I'm sure I've thrown this out already. The Cleveland Browns last year, in an era where we don't see as many turnovers as we used to, coughed up the football 41 times last year as a team. 41. Those are like 1970s, 1980s numbers. Okay? With more physical. I mean, this was just sloppy football. And Deshaun Kaiser, bless his soul, obviously had 28 of those 41 turnovers. Now, I can tell you, Tyrod Taylor, 3 years as the Buffalo Bills starting quarterback, and if you include his years with the Ravens where he barely played, he doesn't have 28 turnovers in his entire career. So one way I've done 98 years of study on this. I'm almost certain one way to improve your offense is to hang on to the football.
Indeed. So, Browns aside, Russell, who do you think did really well in the draft, and who's causing you to scratch your head a little bit?
Well, shameless plug, I did a piece for FanSided talking about the five teams I thought. It wasn't necessarily Bob and Chris who I thought had the best drafts, okay? I'm sorry, Miller has the best drafts. We all know that, okay? So it was the teams I thought that helped themselves the most based on what they were looking for and need and what they were able to get. So the Giants need a running game, and they need help on the offensive line. Well, they got Saquon Barkley, and they got Will Hernandez, the big guard from UTEP. They're going to put him next to Nate Solder and watch Saquon run. I mean, to me, Saquon was the best player in the draft. I think we talked about it last week. He can run, he can catch, he can block, can even return kicks if need be. He did that last year. He had a couple kickoff returns for touchdowns. I thought they helped themselves. I thought Tampa Bay helped themselves in terms of they needed somebody to plug next to Gerald McCoy. They got that with Vita Vea, which every time I hear that name, I think of I Love Lucy, Vita Benjamin. They also got Ronald Jones, the running back out of USC. This was the team that let Doug Martin go. I think he'll wind up the immediate starter in their backfield. Chicago continues to intrigue me. Roquan Smith. They got another wide receiver in Anthony Miller. But I thought the team that helped themselves the most, to answer your question, was the Indianapolis Colts. They got two big guards, not LeBron James and Russell Westbrook. I hope I'm saying that right. And they also went out and got a lot of edge rushers. They don't, I mean, their defense has been very disappointing for any number of years, even when Peyton Manning was there. That beef up the middle, I really thought Chris Ballard did a nice job. And if you remember last year, early on in the draft, they went out and got defensive backs like Malik Hooker, their first round pick. This year, they really kind of concentrated on the front seven. And if those young guys can come around, the point I was trying to make is we still don't know, Chris and Bob, about Andrew Luck. We really don't. But I think what Chris Ballard did in the draft, he didn't do that much in free agency. They wound up picking, by the way, four guys in the second round. What I thought he did in the draft was make it possible that this team could be very competitive even without Andrew Luck.
Bob, questions for Russell?
Yeah, Russ, great to speak with you again. And back to the Giants a little bit, Russ, and I agree with you. I think they improved. Will Hernandez, he needed to protect Manning a lot since last year. Flowers is now gone. It seems like they're cleaning house. They're going to have a new, obviously, new coaching, and they did pretty good. I think they balanced it pretty good, too, Russ. They got a couple good defensive players in the third round, and obviously everyone's talking about no quarterback, but they did get Lauletta from Richmond in the fourth round. I'm wondering, what do you see? Is this going to give a shot in the arm to a guy like Manning? I mean, he's going to have the tools to work with. Is this going to breathe new life into him, and what's going to happen with the backup quarterback position there?
I think, to be honest with you, there's a lot of life breathed, for lack of a better word, back in the Giants, because, and I don't say this to be mean, but, you know, it became very apparent as the year went on that Ben McAdoo was just not the right man for the job, okay? I have never heard, you realize at one time during the year, and as it turned out, during, when it was all said and done, the Giants had three wins, and they had three cornerbacks suspended for one game. When you have as many suspensions as you have wins, you've had a long year. Okay? Now, to Ben McAdoo's credit, I will say this. He's the only man to bring down Eli Manning since 2004 and knock him out of a game.
True.
I think there was new life. And I think Jerry Reese, in supporting the decision that Ben McAdoo made, or whoever made it, Ben McAdoo lost control of the team. I mean, I mean that's from afar, but I don't think I'm out of my mind on this. I think Eli's got plenty of life left. And let's put it this way, Darnold and Allen and all that. If those guys were not available this year, I wonder how many people would actually be talking about Eli's successor. Because I don't hear anybody talking about Philip Rivers' successor, and I don't hear anybody talking about Ben Roethlisberger's successor, unless it's Ben Roethlisberger. And, you know, those guys still have a lot of life. You know, I mean, I find it funny. I mean, the class of 2004 has obviously made its mark, those three guys. You know, I think they're all over 50,000 yards. They're all over 300 touchdown passes. But, you know, reel me this, Batman. If those guys are on their last legs, then what the hell is Drew Brees and Tom Brady, who were in the league 3 or 4 years before they were?
And, Russ, about the across town or across the stadium, I should say, the Jets, Sam Darnold, I mean, this is a guy probably will be playing behind Josh McCown, but I can't see that happening too long. A guy's probably, many people are saying, obviously, he's a franchise-changing pick, but this is a team that obviously needs help on offense, though. They have to build around him. Is this a couple, 2-3-year plan with the Jets now?
I don't know if it's a 2 or 3 year plan. I mean, I look at what Josh McCown did last year. Honestly, I thought he had a very solid year. He wound up breaking his wrist in week 13 in Denver, or I'm sorry, week 14. Completed like 67% of his passes. They don't have a lot of guys to help him. I mean, Quincy Enunwa wound up missing the whole year. Robbie Anderson, we won't even get into that. He had a terrific year for them. Austin Seferian Jenkins. They're not surrounded with a lot of skilled people. I think I threw this stat out to you last week. Darnold was the first player the Jets took in the first round from the offensive side of the ball in 9 years. Okay? No linemen, no wide receivers, no tight ends, no running backs in the first round. I mean, that's great, but how about, as Mr. Miyagi said, how about a little balance? Okay? They have not developed the offense whatsoever. I don't care who they would have in there. That's the biggest problem. Now, I like what the Jets did. They went out and got Isaiah Crowell. They already have Bilal Powell. They've got Thomas Rawls, who they brought in, and maybe he can stay healthy. But offensively, they are devoid. I mean, listen, 2015, Ryan Fitzpatrick had a magical year. They had Brandon Marshall. They had Eric Decker. They had Powell. I mean, it was a different team. And they have lost that since then. But for the most part, it's a team that when Rex Ryan was there, and to a degree Todd Bowles, that has relied on their defense. And their defense has kind of hit the skids the last couple of years because it can only absorb so much of the team responsibility. I like the fact they went out and got some inside linebackers and Kevin Minter and Avery Williamson from the Titans and so on. And when Trumaine Johnson signed there, guys, it showed me that people liked what they saw out of the Jets. All I heard last year is the Jets are going to tank. The Jets are going to go 0-16, blah, blah, blah. They were a pretty feisty football team for the most part. I mean, they laid some eggs, but they also had their share of frittatas.
Russell, before we let you go, remind our listeners one more time about how they can follow you on social media and all the different places they can read your articles.
Bax Football Guru on Twitter. ProFootballGuru.com is the website. There's Pro Football Guru on Instagram. There's Pro Football Guru on Facebook. And I don't often talk about some of the team pages I have for Pro Football Guru on Facebook, something I experimented with about a year or so ago. Might do even more this year. Packers, Cowboys, Steelers, Redskins, Patriots. Everything I write either goes on Twitter or goes on Facebook. But as usual, thanks for having me on, guys. I really appreciate it. And it's going to be a fun couple of weeks. There's still a lot of – I know you guys were talking about Dez Bryant and so on. You know, as we see other veterans kind of get cut, we're going to have that second wave of free agency sooner than later.
Thank you so much. I know you've got an event to get to. Thank you so much for your time tonight, Russell. We look forward to catching up with you again real soon, my friend.
Yeah, good luck on the golf course you're going to, Chris, and you know, say hello to all those balls you donated. So
appreciate you, Russell.
No problem.
Take care, my friend. See you, Russ. That is the great Russell Baxter. We've got our next guest, Tony Collins, hanging on the line. We're going to get to Tony right after this quick station break.